Welcome to Sharing the Word. I'm your host, Dr. Driver.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Welcome to Sharing the Word. I'm your host, Dr. Driver. Blessings to you, my friends. Thank you for tuning in to our message on preparing for the end times. We're getting into the series going into the Gospels according to Jesus Christ when he talks about end time prophecies in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So we'll be getting into that particular part of the series. This is a series coming up very soon. Right now we're paving the road with some of the writings that Paul mentioned in 1 Thessalonians. Then we'll move into some other scripture references that Paul mentioned that he learned from the apostles, from the writings that they were doing as well, based on the teachings of Jesus Christ. Today, I want to talk a little bit about chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians and what's important about this particular passage we're going to get into. I talked earlier about the day of the Lord in chapter 5 in the last episode. But I want to talk about how to encourage one another in these end times. This is very important. I recall sharing a story of a friend calling me and encouraging me. I have family friends. I have a lot of people that sometimes give me a buzz. They call me and say, hey, how you doing? Those things are great. I love those things that helps and motivates and encourages, exhorting one another. We have to do that in these last days. I talk about my wife a lot. I love my wife. She's such a great ministering partner. She and I have Bible studies probably every morning when we have a breakfast. And we just open up the Word and talk about it. And that's encouraging. That's exhorting as well. So I'm hoping that as you listen to this series on preparing for the end times according to the Gospels of Jesus Christ, you'll learn how to encourage one another, exhort one another, pray for one another. That's very important. Praying for one another. We can't get through this crazy world without praying for one another. Now, before I start reading, one of the things that I like about chapter 5, starting in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians, he says, now we exhort you, brethren, and warn these, or warn those, who are unruly. And then he says, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak. Be patient with all. See, we're living in a day, and we're going to read more into this. We're living in the day that people are afraid to be canceled. People are afraid to confront unruly behavior, wickedness. They tolerate it. They may use a caveat. Well, I gotta pray for them only, or pray for grace, or apply grace. You know, here's the thing. When someone's in sin and it could affect you, I am praying you confront it. If it's affecting you in any way, I pray you would confront it. Because that's what we are called to do. So that person who's in sin, listen to me, the person who is in sin, you who are spiritual should confront that person. But do it in love and gentleness. That's Galatians 6:1. So I'm not going to be timid or passive. If you're sinning, especially if you're a believer, I will confront. In love. We should do that. One of the things about our ministry board, we have a board in our ministry, ministers. And we have our annual requirements of meetings, but we also talk throughout the months. You know, we talk frequently and we encourage one another. You know, one of our board members is a pastor of a church and a missionary over there in Africa. And, you know, he's praying for me. I'm praying for him. We're holding each other accountable. But, man, when I mess up, if I say something wrong or my attitude's not correct, as we all have that, he'll call it out. And that's what we need to do to encourage one another. Iron sharpens iron. We need to hold each other accountable because we're going to get, I don't know, discouraged, we're going to have faint-heartedness, we're going to have a point in our life where we look at what's going on and we say, I can't deal with this anymore. Have you ever felt that way? No, really, have you ever felt that because of what's going on in the world, and when I say everything in the world is what it is, you kind of go, what's the point? Pray for each other. Encourage one another. This is what the Bible is telling us to do. Now, as Paul's saying, though, in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, looking at 14 again, he says, now we exhort you. He's telling everybody, he says, now we exhort you, brethren. Warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Now, when I say be patient with all, too, I know what Paul's really saying. He says, not everybody's going to be mature in the faith. There's people in the faith that are very weak. They're on the milk of the word, not the meat of the word. I get those old things apply. But we have to encourage and be patient with all. Now, patience, you can pray for it. I do. I pray for patience. But here's what it is. Forbearing one another. It's allowing room for growth. Listen to me. It's allowing for mistakes to be made because we learn from mistakes, hopefully. But it doesn't mean mistakes is a lifestyle of sin either. You made a bad move. It doesn't mean you're living a lifestyle of sin. Listen to me, my friends. We get judgmental because we think that, okay, I'm going to be spiritual here. I'm going to be holy and righteous, and I'm going to hold you accountable. And then every time you say something wrong, I'm going to call it out. No, it says be patient with one another, allowing room to grow. Now, I could correct everything that someone says around me. I could. But then I'm being judgmental. I'm being critical. So when it says, now I exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. See, warn those who are unruly. They can be a believer. They can be an unbeliever. And then it says, comfort the faint-hearted. Many people today, they're not happy. They're not, woohoo, life is grand. I'm making all this money, or the economy's great. And this, they're not. They're worried about how to provide for their family. They're concerned about their careers, their jobs that they're in. They're faint-hearted. Comfort them. Encourage them. Show them love. My friends, I've learned one thing about, let's say, in the last 2 or 3 years. This is something I want to share. And we'll get more into what Paul is saying here, starting in verse 14. He is telling us to exhort. To exhort. To lift up. Sometimes in exhorting, you know, exhortation, you can exhort somebody in a positive way. You can do it in a negative way. And I know there are ways to do things, but some people think they're encouraging or exhorting you, and they're really trying to destroy you. I've seen that more and more over the last several years. So I'm going to give you I would call it a factoid of life. Only surround yourself with people that are going to encourage you. Listen to me. It doesn't matter. Have people in your life that believe in you, support you, pray for you, exhort you, encourage you. If you surround yourself with anyone else that does the opposite, you're going to be faint-hearted all day long. It doesn't matter if it's family, friends, co-workers. Don't surround yourself. Don't hang with people that are going to discourage you, bring you down, criticize you, judge you, everything you say and do. Don't hang with those kind of people. Okay? 3 things I always say to those that I mentor with. Never share your dreams with anyone, especially ones that you already know ain't going to encourage you. Don't share your dreams. Don't share your dreams and goals. Not with everyone. Because they will discourage you. It's not their dream. It's not their purpose. It's not their life. Don't share your dreams of what you feel the Lord is calling you to do with people who won't listen to you or support you. Remove them. Number 2, never talk about how much money you make, how much money you have. We're getting into another series called God and versus Mammon, but don't ever share how much money you got. Don't ever do those things. Okay? And number 3, now this is important. Never, ever share anything that is so personal to you about what you've been through in your life. Because if you do, someone is going to use that against you. Okay? Those are the most important three things I would say practice and live by. And you'll learn how to encourage somebody, exhort somebody, confront somebody that's unruly. Just because somebody wants to give their whole history of life to you doesn't mean you got to do the same thing. Mm-mm. It's a trap. It's a trap. I had somebody tell me a story one day that someone shared their whole life story, just met the person, shared their whole life story. From the time they were a kid to the time they got married to the time they got divorced to the time that their kids ran out and did the follow. I mean, they just had a meeting, a lunch meeting, and this person went through their entire life just meeting a person. And the person sitting there kind of went, wow. Now, what am I supposed to do with that information? How do I exhort somebody? How do I encourage somebody? How do I pray for somebody who just gave me a time capsule of everything in their life? And then that person expects you to do the same. Don't do it. Follow those three rules, okay? You follow those three rules, you won't set yourself up in a trap. So when I look at what Paul is saying, he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. I'll be patient. I'll listen to you. But it's not going to be a quid pro quo. In these last days, I'm not going to now share my life story of all my trials and tribulations. If I want to get up into a testimonial and use little snippets, I can do that. But in my testimony, I have pieces of my testimony that will fit for every occasion. Hallelujah. But just because somebody you just met wants to go over their whole life story, be careful what you share in response. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we'll finish what Paul is saying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 14 through 22 right after this break.
Get started on your journey of learning and understanding how to be a practical, scripture-focused Christian. Enjoy a variety of messages of several lengths across many delivery systems online, from podcasts to TV. We also offer Christian classic movies on Galilee TV and our YouTube channel to offer biblical-centered entertainment for the whole family. Enjoy our popular Bible programs like Bible Minute, Sharing the Word, Take 5, and Sermon Classics. Our thought-provoking and inspirational programs are available on Galilee TV, the Now Network, our YouTube channel, and over 26 internet podcast channels like Pandora, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Breaker, Google Podcast, Apple, and more.
Welcome back. You know, during the break, I was thinking about, you know, why this is important to encourage the listeners that watch us on Galilee TV or the Now Network or on YouTube channel, as well as our audio listeners as well. When you're listening to this or watching this, I'm hoping you're hearing passion, watching and seeing how this is really important. Because to be a Christian, this is important, to be a Christian is to really practice what the Bible is saying. And I'm sometimes wondering, are people taking the word seriously and applying it? Now, that's just me. And that's part of the encouragement I was trying to say when my board members or some friends call me up. It's to encourage me. Because sometimes when I'm preaching the word, the Lord speaks to me first, maybe corrects me at times before I get the message out. I'm like, okay, Lord, I understand this. But we are truly in the last days. And I had a series a while ago. I preached on wisdom from the book of Ecclesiastes. You can watch that and listen to that on all our audio podcast channels like Spotify and Anchor and Pandora. My producer's looking at me. Amazon, Breaker. There's so many podcast channels out there. I think we're over 20 podcast channels by now. You can go to our website and check those out at TLDM, EvangelisticMediaNetwork.com. And then, of course, we're on the Now Network every Saturday morning at 5 a.m. And we are on Galilee TV every Sunday morning at noon. I got to get these things down. As well as we have video on demand on Galilee TV. That's a channel for classic television and classic movies. And you can also listen to all our sermons on our YouTube channel, and you can hit subscribe and notification, please, every time. So yes, I really want the sermons, the messages that you're hearing, really impact and change your life for the glory of God. Because I love sharing my faith. I love talking to people about Jesus. And he's coming soon. I mean, I do get excited. I talked about in the other episode about the seasons. We're in the seasons of his return. I feel it. I'm praying you feel it as well. He is coming. And even if he doesn't come today, I'm going to prepare my life. This is important. I'm going to prepare my life like he is. I'm going to be busy what he tells me to do. I'm going to be obedient. I want to be humble about it. I'm going to love it. I'm going to love everyone I can, you know, because everybody doesn't want to be loved, but I'm going to show the love of God. I'm going to be at peace with my neighbor if possible. I'm going to do what the Bible says to do, because when you live in obedience to God, blessings flow. Blessings flow. I love Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 12. Obedience. Obedience is everything. So Paul is going into why it's important to encourage, to pray for. So let's continue on 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 14 again. He says, "Now we exhort you, brethren," and he gets into this very seriously, "warn those who are unruly," you know, just like somebody who's in sin, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, "comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all." Let me stop there. See, the Bible stories are application-based, meaning we learn from them, we read about the mistakes or the promises and the dictates, we look at all those things and we say, I'm going to apply that for my life. And when we do, we become not just hearers of the word, praise the Lord, we are doers of the word. This is so important. So Paul is telling me, wow, pursue what is good both for you yourself and for all. There are many people today that are all about me, myself, and I. It's me, myself, and I. And you wonder why. Especially when they wear the label, they're a Christian, they're really all about themselves. Jesus came, this is important, to serve, not to be served. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. So we have to learn how to serve one another. Again, all in the Bible. See, our series called Sharing the Word is important because when I've done home Bible studies or group Bible studies or teach Sunday school in a church or have a cohort group, you know, in various places in my life, from the ministry of the chaplains in the military to different things that I used to be involved in all my life. I love sharing the Bible. And what's important about this is you open up the Word of God. You read it for what it is saying. And from a contextual criticism, you evaluate all the scriptures that connect to it. Contextual criticism. I apply all those pieces together and go, it says it here, it says it here, and I look at it and I apply it. I don't want to be a hearer. I want to be a doer of what God is saying. So I love sharing the word because when I read what Paul is telling me, I want to share that with you because here's what the Lord has revealed to me. He says in verse 16, this is why this is important. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Now 16 and 17 is telling me rejoice always. How are we going to rejoice in a pandemic? You can't. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you go through various trials. James chapter 1. But look what Paul's saying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now James says it. Now Paul is saying it. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Then it says pray without ceasing. Now this is not perpetual praying nonstop. Obviously, it's an attitude of praying. You know, not continuous and, you know, all day long. No, it's an attitude. It's a lifestyle about prayer. Amen. You remember, if you, I would say you remember, I think you're right here with me. I talked about praying is a lifestyle. And I say pray morning, noon, and night. Morning, noon, and night. You know, the prophet Daniel, morning, noon, and night. My lifestyle, morning, noon, and night, and in between. Amen. I pray when I'm driving. I'm praying when I'm in the shower. Maybe too much information. I'm just telling you. I'm praying when I'm working out. Let me see here. I'm praying without what? See, meaning I have an attitude and a lifestyle of praying. Amen? And that's what Paul is saying. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And here's this one is good. This one is good. 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's verse 18. So let me kind of sum these things up a little bit. Those three things. I love it. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and in everything you do, give thanks. Now, Paul talked about that in chapter 4 as well, but it's important. Those three things are important. Watch this. I mean, this is so good. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Always pray. Always continue to pray. Rejoice and pray. There you go. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. A lifestyle of prayer. And then number 3, always give thanks in everything you do for God. I pause for a moment. I'm like, yeah, am I still doing that? Am I stopping and saying, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in my life? Now, James says it too. It's good. So look at it. James says practically what Paul just said. So if those are the basic elements of our faith, then why are we not practicing it? The world cannot see that we are believers or Christians if we're not, what? Rejoicing always, pray without ceasing, and then give thanks in all circumstances. Because this is God's will for your life. Hallelujah. Always in threes. Always in threes. I just, numerology. I study numerology. Why God has threes, and then he has seven, then he has 12, and he has 40. It's amazing. Numbers. I always tell my wife, always think in numbers, honey. Time and numbers. Time and numbers. That's what I tell her. Time and numbers. God is all about time and all about numbers. But he says these three things. Oh, this is good again. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks to God. Are you doing those three things, my friends? I'm going to, again, as he said earlier, I'm going to exhort you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to tell you, do those three things. Do those three things in your life, and your sphere of influence will change. I'm just telling you, a lot of people, I've seen people get irritated. You might have seen this. Get irritated that you're rejoicing through the circumstances of the pandemic or inflation or whatever you're going through. People are like, can you just stop being happy all the time? I used to go to work in the military at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m., because I just came out of prayer. And people go, will you please stop being so joyful? I can't help it. Here's what God is doing. I'm on a ship. I'm in the desert. I'm at a hospital. It don't matter where I'm stationed. I'm going to be rejoicing in the Lord. I get in trouble sometimes because people don't want to hear about God, but hey, that's who I am. I'm a Christian. I got attacked a lot in my career in the military for being a Christian. For those who know me, they know that's true. But here's the thing. When you rejoice in the Lord, he'll still protect you. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? So be God before me, who can be against me? So I'm going to rejoice always. I'm going to pray without ceasing, and I'm going to give thanks in all things. Amen. Verse 19. Very powerful. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Now, what, you know, people have gifts. People have a gift in teaching, preaching, you know, people speaking tongues. Those are gifts. I have a gift of prophecy. I have those gifts. I have the gift of teaching. I have those gifts. But here's the thing. Don't quench the Holy Ghost. Don't ever quench the Holy Ghost in somebody's life. Somebody who is on fire from the for the Lord, don't quench that spirit in that person. You know, like I said, I get up in the morning, I go to work, and people, that's quenching the spirit. Don't quench the spirit of God in any believer. Let the Lord work in that person. Let the Lord moderate. Let the Lord, you know, adjust, temper that person as the Lord sees fit. But for you, rejoice in it. Rejoice that somebody's still fired up for the Lord. The zeal of the Lord consumes me. That's like Jesus. The zeal of the Lord consumes me, and that's why he got fired up in the temple and overturned tables. I'm like, I have the zeal for the Lord. So he says, do not quench the spirit and do not despise prophecies. Now, we know the truth that a prophet is someone who speaks the word of God, and 100% of the time, 100%, if it's of the Lord, it will happen. A false prophet speaks, says, oh, the Lord said, but it never happens. That's a false prophet. But prophecies are the word of God coming to life from Old to the New Testament. You can evaluate, is the person speaking prophetically from the word of God? If they are, that's a man and woman of God speaking the words of God through prophetic utterance. Don't despise it. Receive it in the name of the Lord. Then he says, test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, with the last few minutes, let me just get ready to close on this. When you read 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 14, going through 22, ask yourself, am I following this guidelines? Am I following this guideline on how to live my life? Am I rejoicing always? Am I praying without ceasing? Okay? Am I giving thanks in all my circumstances? No, I'm not happy with the gas prices or food prices, but I'm rejoicing. Why? Because I still got money to buy food. Hallelujah. I still have gas in the car. I don't travel as much. When I don't have to travel, I consolidate and make things happen with a trip on a given day and get all my errands done on one day. It's a lot of movement that way. And this says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit of God in a believer. Watch this. And do not despise the word of God or prophecies. God's word is prophetic. There's people who speak the word of God by saying what they've read, and people, that's not going to happen. Like scoffers in the last day, because the Lord is coming, and they go, I've heard those prophecies before. Peter talks about it. We're going to get into that later. That's despising prophecies. The word of God is going to reveal some things to people, and some people are going to say, I don't want to hear it. So they despise it. Don't despise the word of God. If it's being spoken, it's written. So shall it be done. Amen. Then it says, test all things. God gave you the Holy Ghost to have a spirit of discernment. Pray that God gives you a spirit of discernment, my friends, and you'll get through all things. Hold fast what is good and abstain from every form of evil. My prayer is that you will apply the principles of what Paul is talking about in 1 Thessalonians 5, and you will have victory in the name of the Lord. May God bless you. Join me again on another episode of Sharing the Word.